Worry and anxiety are old friends of ours, aren't they? And I would venture to say, in just about every church, in just about every pew, in just about every house, and probably just about in every heart, at some point, worry and anxiety have come and paid a visit. For some of us, that worry and that anxiety stays a long time, a real long time. And speaking for myself, I am good friends, well acquainted with worry and anxiety. They come by all the time. And just like in the book that I read to Eleanor and to Isaiah, the worry comes with two words that really make it a whole lot worse. Do you remember what those two words were in the book? What if? What if are two words that worry and anxiety really love to play with? What if? As a pastor, my worries and anxieties are, what if I say it wrong? What if I get the words wrong? What if I don't say the right thing? What if I forget something? That happens a lot. What if I'm not really doing what I should be doing? What if God picked the wrong guy? What if things don't work out the way that they ought to? What are some of your what ifs? What if those test results come back positive? What if the economy doesn't turn around? What if my retirement doesn't last? What if my kids or grandkids go the wrong direction? What if? What if I need to move from my house that I've lived in for so long and have to move into someplace else? What if? Those worries and anxieties grow and grow with every what if. What if? So what happens to us as Christians, as believers in Christ, as those whom God has given this great gift of faith? What happens when the what ifs show up? What happens when they take up residence and don't seem to go anywhere? What's the remedy? What's the vaccine against the what ifs? Birds and flowers. They actually are a pretty good antidote to the what ifs. When the worries and anxieties come, what's something you could do? Watch the birds. We could watch the birds. Seeing the hummingbirds flying in and around the rhododendrons can really be therapeutic. When the worries and anxieties come, spend a little time in the garden. Get your hands in the dirt. It actually works really, really well. But it's only temporary, isn't it? All of these things that the world wants us to figure out, we could meditate more, we could do yoga, we can do all of these different things to sort of calm ourselves down. But they're only temporary. The what-ifs are only quiet for a little while when we do those things because they come back around. We could go the other direction too. You could have a little bit more to drink. You could run away and hide a little bit more. You could spend a little bit more. Shopping therapy. We all know that one. But they're only temporary, and they only make the problem bigger. So really, what do we do? When Jesus is talking with his disciples and says, don't worry. It's easier said than done, Jesus. It's nice for you to tell me not to worry, and I trust your words, but how? How do I not when those what-ifs are so big and those worries are so huge and so present and so heavy, what do we do? Well, Jesus says, seek his kingdom. When those worries and what-ifs overwhelm, seek his kingdom. It's an interesting phrase. Jesus isn't talking about being distracted or finding a way to get your mind off of things. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the heart. Reorient the heart towards the things that God wants us to look at. And again, it's easier said than done, right? As a pastor, I could stand up here all day and say, just trust more, have better faith, pray harder. And that wouldn't be helpful at all, because then that just creates more worry. Well, that does that mean I don't have enough faith? Does that mean I'm not praying the right way? Wah! Becomes overwhelming. There's something else that we often use as a phrase, and it's words of Jesus, and he says, with man this is impossible, but with God, say it with me, all things are possible, right? We believe that. We say that. And it's absolutely true, because we can't do this fighting the what-ifs on our own. We can't combat the worry just by thinking about birds or looking at flowers. It comes from God. He is the one who reorients our heart. He is the one who focuses our hearts on the kingdom. He is the one who reminds us over and over and over again how he provides everything we need. The very air we breathe, provided. The food that we have on our tables, provided. The clothes that we put on this morning, provided. Given to us as a gift. And most importantly, the faith that we have, given to us as a gift from God. Seek his kingdom. I love his words in verse 32. We'll sing it in just a second. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What incredible words. It is your Father's good pleasure. God loves to give you gifts. He loves to give you faith and grace and love and forgiveness and clothes and food and friends and family. He loves to give you those things. And he loves when you come to the table and you hold out your hands, little flock, to receive the food that God has for you, his own son's body and blood. It is his good pleasure to give you that. It's interesting how often when we hear the words, fear not, little flock, what animal do we think of? Sheep. What is Jesus not talking about here? Sheep. He's talking about birds. And what do we call a group of birds? A flock. Interesting that that same word connects with the birds that he's talking about and sheep, his people. Fear not, flock of birds. God will give you his kingdom. It's his good pleasure to do so. He's like the man in all of the cartoons in The New Yorker that sits on the park bench with the thing of crumbs feeding the pigeons. Now, I'm not saying we're pigeons. But what a pleasure it is to provide. God loves to do that for us. He loves to give us those things that we need. And they may not always look like we expect them to look. I'll give you an example of that. In Alaska, in the dead of winter, there are still ducks that stick around when it's 30 and 40 below zero. They don't go anywhere. They're the weirdest ducks ever. And why don't they go anywhere? Because we provide for them. We feed them. So they don't have to go anywhere. They must be thermal ducks, though. I don't understand. Also, the ravens that Jesus mentions, the ravens stick around when it's 30 and 40 below because there's always somebody who leaves a bag of garbage in the back of their pickup truck. And the Lord provides for the ravens out of somebody's pickup truck. Makes a big mess, but still provides for them. And if God provides for the ravens and the ducks at 40 below, how much more will he provide for us? How much more could he provide for us than everything we need every day? So worry is going to come and go. Worry and anxiety are friends that migrate like geese, that bloom and fade like the flowers. But it is God's good pleasure all the time to give you the kingdom, to give you his gifts, to provide for you. So fear not, little flock. The Lord provides all that we need. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. We are going to sing our sermon hymn.